Shepherds, Zion, Lord, on December 11th, the shepherds. Father, we just thank you for the gift of prayer, where you can birth your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name and by the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I ask that you anoint this session. The ears of those who hear, the eyes of those to see, the heart to get an understanding and to repent and turn back to the ways that you have demonstrated through your Holy Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank you and praise you for this. Well, when I was first walking with Jesus, being discipled and mentored, I read this book called What Would Jesus Do? And it stuck with me all these years. He is the standard for ministry. And in this time of Hanukkah, so Hanukkah started on Friday, we'll say Friday. So it's 1, 2, 3 days, 3 or 4, depending upon which calendar you're looking at. But the point is that in John 10, Jesus walked through the temple in the winter on the Feast of Dedication. Therefore, he was in Jerusalem, and he was walking through. And in John 10. So this is part of the scripture readings for the dedication of the temple. We are the temple, the body of Christ, and in the heart of the temple is the Holy of Holies. This is where the Spirit of God lives. And the altar is where the commandments of God are, the Ark of the Covenant, God's covenant with us, that we keep his commandments when his Spirit dwells in our hearts and in our spirits and governs our soul, and the little pot, which would be our flesh, our body that we dwell in. And this is a call, and this is the second part of what the revelation of the Holy Spirit is about this feast and the preparation, how important it is for this time. This is also the time when Jerusalem was reclaimed from the Ottoman Turks by General Allenby. Therefore, we need to look at the prophetic fulfillment as tied in these current days with who Jesus is. And when he is still teaching us and build our house, our temple, our foundations on these teachings so that we will not be shaken, not the teachings and traditions of men. Okay, I like to celebrate, you know, anything that has to do with Judeo-Christianity because the feast are the feasts of the Lord. But I don't go listening and applying the Talmudic teachings of the expelled Jews who did not receive Yeshua as the Messiah, and their descendants from the first century. But as it says in Romans, Paul says, they've been broken off for your sake, they can be grafted in. And there is still the gifts and callings are without repentance. They are without repentance. So let's look at John 10. This is the reading about Jesus in the temple during the winter feast of dedication. I'm going to look at the context of all the teachings he has in here. I tell you the truth. Well, he is the truth. And I'm going to make comment as we go on. The man who does not enter the sheep by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. So this implies that there are men who do enter it, but not the right way. Well, you can get in. You can get into the sheep pen if you follow me. The Lord says clearly, no, it's only by, who? The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. But we know today in this time that this is exactly how sheep behave. And the good shepherd, as we will find out, is Jesus. He is the one that they entered that gate. The watchman's watching. It's the shepherd of his sheep. The man who enters by the gate, the sheep or the men, is the shepherd of the sheep. Okay, and they hear his voice. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. And he says in other places, there's no other name given under heaven by which we might be saved. And he openly says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. He says, here, I'm the gate. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Next phrase. So that's the work of the thief, this, the liar, the Satan, at Satan's office. He's a thief. He murders and he brings in destruction. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full or more abundantly, it says. I am the good shepherd. Here the Lord tells who he is. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he bands the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know my Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And in another passage, it says, no greater love has this than someone lay down his life for a brother, or even more so, for someone he doesn't know. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. So there are different sheep pens. They will listen to his voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. There shall be one flock and one shepherd. There's no division in them by color. Black, this one's black and white, this one's black, this one's white, this one's got colored spots. No, this one has blue eyes and green eyes. No, they're all of one flock. Does it make a difference? Okay. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up. This command I received from my Father. Now, he meant that he could lay down as a sacrificial lamb and die for the sins of the world. As John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's the watchman. He's watching for the shepherd coming. And he was raised from the dead, showing that he had authority, which came from his Father, to take up his life and to give us eternal life to those who believe and come through the correct gate. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he's demon-possessed and he am raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? The unbelief of the Jews. This is the title. I'm starting it. verse 32. Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area, walking in Solomon's colonnade. Of course, he said the temple in Jerusalem at that time was his father's house. The Jews gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered and said, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." So this is the work that Jesus came to do. And this is how we know. We who know the Lord Jesus, we know his voice. And when it comes through other false teachers or wolves, and we go, "There's something not right about that," and we don't follow those people, and we don't want to be deceived or picked off of the flock, because there's one flock and there's one shepherd, he says. And miracles, okay, follow Jesus. That's the validation of the words that he spoke. And he says, "I'm come to give them eternal life, and they will never die, perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." Thank you, Jesus. No matter how much the enemy tries. And again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said, "I have shown you many, many great miracles from the Father. For which one of these do you stone me?" "We're not stoning you for any of these," replied the Jews, "but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." And Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I have said you are gods'? If you call them gods to whom the word of God came," okay, "and the scripture cannot be broken, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son? Do not believe me unless I do what my Father does. But if I do it, even though you do not believe me, believe the miracles, and you may know that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father." And again, they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. And then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. Here he stayed, and many people came to him, and they said, "Though John never performed a miraculous sign, all that John said about this man was true." And in that place, many believed in Jesus. And we are part of that flock if we believe in him and listen to his voice. But this is really important because there's a sifting going on and a separating in the temple right now for the days to come. And we need to look at, okay, Jesus said, if you build your house, your spiritual house, that's our house, those that are around us, those that are relationships, those that are extended families, the temple, the human temple, the living stones that we are, we build them on the teachings of Jesus. Not on the teachings of men or their opinions. And not on ear tickling, tantalizing, counterfeit demonstrations. Yes, there are counterfeit demonstrations of the miraculous. Lying, I call them lying signs and wonders. Why? Why are they lying? Because the truth, the spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit is not in them. Or they're leavened with unrepentant sin and behaviors that have led them astray, and because of whatever reason, and they lead others astray. We are to test all things and prove that which is good and be noble Bereans. I want to go to Ezekiel 34. The last scriptures with text that I used was the New King James. And we're going to come here to Ezekiel 34.